We posted an updated information with pictures and text underneath the pictures with regard to the church in Togo, West Africa. For those of you not familiar with that church, there's a local church over there, and we've been helping them off and on over a number of years financially. Benjamin Bonney's the pastor, but it's posted out there. So do what you will with it. All right. excuse me. We're dealing with the increase in evil in the last days and the final rebellion against God and fight against his plan on the part of the kings of the earth, that their participation. And, of course, they can't do anything without the support of their people. And that is the subject of Psalm 2. And we have, in the rapture generation, this lawlessness reaches maturation, and in the Antichrist, it reaches maturation, the final manifestation of rebellion. And again, without God, they couldn't even do that. The Antichrist and the appearing of the Antichrist, I suspect it's all going to be tied into this constant emphasis on aliens and alien visitors and things of that nature, that's continually, oh, we're now admitting there are UFOs, and we're doing something finally. Yeah, these people, they're really aggravating. But let me find this here for you. 2 Thessalonians, they just play everybody. But most people do not have the resources or the wherewithal to do research into this, but there is this growing thing where this is going to continue. Because obviously, Christ is coming back from the heavens, and therefore, they've got to have something to put in its place and to talk about things. You have nutty, nutty stuff coming out all the time. That Hawkins guy says we all need to go to Mars. Unreal. This Earth's had it. It's had it. Oh, you can just laugh at all of it. That's what you're supposed to do. 2 Thessalonians 2, that should be 8 through 12. Didn't get the hype there on that point. F there. This follows the verse we gave you. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The deep secret society thing. You can read about them through history. That are wanting to overthrow the order and establish this new order of things. World government, all the rest. And this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, who would that be? Who's the restraining ministry? It has to be deity. So the deity is restraining, and I presume that's the Holy Spirit. He has restrained this from coming to fruition. Always they would reach a point and it would be frustrated. And they have to go back to the drawing board and continue to work to make this happen. That's how I see it. And so the restraining of this evil, I mean, so you know, here's a verse for you. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. What do you mean taken out of the way? I mean, and back in the earlier verse, well, I'm going to go back to 5, because he says, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? He gave them the doctrine of the Antichrist, basically. As far as he had information on the doctrine of the Antichrist. I mean, the subject of the Antichrist has obviously been a big hot topic among Christians, and who is the Antichrist, and all the business about this final rival to Jesus Christ, his counterpart, Antichrist. And so he says, and you know what restrains him now, so at any time he will be revealed. So the very least we can get from this is this whole process to bring to fruition a final Antichrist has been frustrated, slowed down, retarded, so that it would happen when it's supposed to happen. And then when it's supposed to happen, this restraint factor is lifted, whatever, however you define the restraint factor. Now, and he says, you know, I told you that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. There's activity going on. Now, one could say, well, it's always been the devil's objective. Yes, but he has to have people. To make it work in the human realm, you have to have people on board with this. People that are in touch with this kind of evil. That are involved with secret societies as such. And the things that have come out of them. Promoting a new world order. We have manifestations of this push for world governance, world domination, etc. It's constantly being frustrated, although it does get some momentum. Frustrated, we didn't get the League of Nations. It collapsed. It died. It was stillborn. It didn't survive. But the same people who are behind it continue to push for this. And they realize in order to get world government, we have to do it in stages. We can't just one day declare a world government. People will put up with it. We've got to do, as one said before Congress, we need to do end run around national sovereignty. Can you imagine someone saying this to the U.S. Congress? I can document this. These are the kind of people. They're pushing for this. And pushing for world government. Even people you think are nationalistic, that's their front. I just read an article on Walter Cronkite. You remember him, the grandfatherly figure? And that's the way it is today. And you thought he was real pro-American, and everything, it was all fuzzy and everybody felt good. You know, back when we had the day of the one dominant newscaster. Casted his spell over everybody. He was big into world government behind the scenes. And that meant bye-bye America and nationalism and sovereignty. That you give up your sovereignty to this UN thing and on and on and on and on. Undermining this whole idea. So world government, world monetary system, world educational system, world health system, all set up to enslave us and to destroy the truth from the earth. Because we wouldn't be able to operate under this because we would be labeled and shut down. But the church will survive this. Suffer? Yes. The gates of hell, that's those that are going to go through those gates. The gates of hell will not overthrow the church. The church will suffer. The body will suffer. The bride will suffer as the head has suffered. But in the end, we're victorious over all. In the meantime, Satan and his organization and all those people he can get on board at top level are involved in this conspiracy against humanity and against God. And it's very involved. And it's long-standing. People have spoken out against it. Prominent people. Books have been written about it. I have the Confessions of Woodrow Wilson. The president who was in power when we got involved with the Federal Reserve System. And all that business. He was a Presbyterian. He was But being in power and politics mattered. But his alter ego was this Colonel Edward House, who was not a colonel, literally. He was his shadow. He was just kind of that, you know, you see this, you see, at, well, after he got out of office and all the business and everything, he said, there is an operation outside that is so secretive, so entrenched, that if you even say anything against it beyond a breath, you're in trouble. And in his, and I got some of my papers in there from his book and things, he said, I believe that I have betrayed my country. My gosh. For power and position. And he has all these strong things to say. Well, kind of a little, too late. You know? You should have used your platform as president. Kennedy did. Oh, he made some phenomenal speeches about it. Before universities, before Ivy League schools, he spoke out against it. He broke company with them. And you know what happened to him. He even floated a $2. I got one in my office. I got a $2 silver certificate. He shoved some of those out in the circulation to compete with the Federal Reserve note, because you could take this and redeem it for actual silver. Paper is just worth whatever they print it on. It's just a medium of exchange. He did that. With his death, his assassination, that was all withdrawn. Well, some of them still are floating around, and I got one. The way the old paper currency in the United States used to be, redeemable at the United States Treasury for X amount in gold or silver or whatever. You could walk in and get your silver. That is sound currency. Anyway. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. We go right to that. Lord's going to kill him. And the details of because he's going to be a part of that final attack on Israel, the king of the West. He'll head up the European nations. There'll be 10 nations in his deal once he gets it all lined out. And he will be God. He'll be brought into the Israel at the time. It's in Daniel. He'll set up his command headquarters between this and this. It's all in there, like detail. And he will not die in the battle itself. He will be taken captive. And the Lord will take him and his right hand guy, the promoter of his cult. You know, the public relations, the promoter, the false prophet, he'll throw them alive into the lake of fire. Because they've already been in hell. So we're going to relocate them to the lake of fire. Just reporting. I'm just a reporter. Whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That's second advent, of course. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. Let's back up and look at him again. His coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. It's like there are these things that are going to build up and get people ready for this. With all power and signs and false wonders, demons will be connected with him, and they're going to do these phenomenal things to wow people and try to bring them in. See, we can do this, the fire out of heaven trick. Many other different things, because we know from our study of Scripture the power angels have if they're let loose. And that's why then, believers then, and even now, you really got to, if someone tells you something and it looks good and it seems to be real and it violates the Bible, go with the Bible. To hell with the rest of it. You'll always be safe there. Because they will do things to try to say, this is what's real, not what you read in your Bible. No, I'm sticking with the Bible. Period. Whatever you want to show, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to run around and do, I'm sticking with the Bible. This is how things came into existence. I'm sticking with the Bible. You can go off, do your little thing. And with all the deception of wickedness, this indicates big time deception over humanity by this Antichrist thing as it builds up and as he is manifest. He's going to be manifest in some dramatic fashion. I can only imagine what it is. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, see, Paul backs up again. God will send them a deluding influence. Because if the Antichrist is who I've been telling you that he is, he's a man out of the past. He had a past life. It's in Revelation 17. He's one of the seven heads on this beast that represents seven kingdoms. And five have fallen. One is, and one is yet to come. That's your seven. Five have fallen. One is. That's the Roman Empire. The one right before it was the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. And then we work our way back, all the way back with these other kingdoms. Coming, ending up with Egypt and have Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Greece. He's a Greek and he's Alexander and he's been in hell since he died in Babylon way back in the day at about age 33. He will come back. The only way he can get back is he has to have a resurrection body to mortality, not immortality. Boom. He will come out of the abyss and go back to the abyss. It's very clear. It's right there. You can't miss it. So why all the debate about who the Antichrist is? Process of elimination. He's one of the five. Which one would you pick out of the five? An Egyptian? An Assyrian? A Persian? Babylonian? No. Alexander. I'd put all my money on Alexander. He's it. He's the most storied individual from antiquity. More books written about him. And they're searching for his remains. They haven't found it. They found his father's, Philip, King Philip. They haven't found his yet. Some think it's here. Some think it's there. He was interned Egyptian style. And where his sarcophagus and remains are, there's all this out there about it. And there's a book out in the library, you can get it, The Search for Alexander. And all the different ones and where they think it might be. It almost seems they got to find these remains. Because then they can do a test, they can say, they found Philip's remains, his father. So you can make a DNA match, right there. And he will know so much and he will be able to say things and he'll clear stuff up and even some academic stuff he'll probably have right that's all wrong. And he won't come off like some raving maniac. He will be a proficient orator. He will be a powerful public speaker. And he will put his works where his words are. His career. In fact, it gets even more interesting. After the rapture and some way into the tribulation, he is assassinated. Killed. God brings him back and people just go nuts. You can't keep this guy down. And one of my church members said, you know, it might be that God allows him to be killed by the miracles done by Moses and Elijah. Fire out of heaven. Then pop him back. People want to believe a lie? We'll give them the best. We'll give them Alexander. For someone to come back from antiquity, their brain has to be completely redone. That's no problem. They've got to have modern ideas as well as the ancient ones and know how to be able to converse in a modern world. Nobody could be brought back from the ancient world and be able to function around. They wouldn't know what a toothbrush was, I don't think. They wouldn't know anything. But if you reprogram it all, and you put all that information in, languages, military tactics, and how to operate modern military operations, and you'll pull all this together and overthrow nations right and left, and people will be running around after he's resurrected the second time and saying, who can make war with the beast? And they will call him the beast. Who can make war with the beast? And they'll all rally around him and chant and everything. There'll be music, hit songs, all the rest of it. Well, there's somebody who can. He will badmouth those that are in heaven. Part of his public speaking, well, he'll be all of us that have disappeared. He'll blaspheme those who are in heaven. It doesn't mean he's going to use cuss language. It means that he's going to say, our forces got them out of the way. We don't need them. We got rid of them. And all within this mix of stuff. So tighten your seatbelt as we get down to the end of this. So you're not deceived. You're not led astray. Satan's ability to deceive people is tremendous. He's no piker. God will send on them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. The apostate demands divine wrath as seen in the thief, pregnant woman, and drunk motifs. That day will come as a thief in the night. We've covered that. The Old Testament has this. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. The day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. It'll catch them all flat-footed. Not for believers. Just for negative volition. It will come like a thief in the night. As surely as a pregnant woman suffers, so they will see temporal judgment. Isaiah 13:8. And that's dealing with the United States in that passage. Isaiah 13 is a U.S. prophetic passage. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in shock. Their faces aflame because they looked at the nuclear in the direction of the nuclear blast. Well, that'll instantly blind you. Somebody says a nuclear bomb is, don't look there. Your eyes are toast. Ruined. But this will be, their faces will melt while they stand. This is going to be as gory as it gets. They haven't released, very few pictures they've released, but when we dropped those two bombs on those two Japanese cities. But it's not pretty. It is not pretty. Children, men, women, animals, everything. And there's some real gory descriptions of this in the Bible. Because this nuclear war sets the tone for all the bad stuff that comes. And we get to the middle of the tribulation, the book of Revelation says, you haven't seen anything yet. Thank God we're not going to be here. Now, if you want to stay, maybe you can put in a petition to God. I'd like to go through the trip. We're not going to be here. Period. Cheers. Out of here. The age of Israel resumes. Daniel's 70th week. It's like a pause button was hit in 33 AD. 69 sevens, weeks of years, were in the past. And then we have this interruption. Intermission. It's called the church age. Bam! The pause button is released and we go to the seven. The seven And that's age of Israel. Last time I checked, that's all age of Israel. The 69 weeks, all age of Israel. It started in the age of Israel. Age of Israel obviously started with Abraham, but the age of Israel, this is when Daniel was getting figures, numbers, so we can talk. See, that's how the Jews could have figured out when Jesus was going to appear the first time. And certain ones of them did. It's hidden from negative volition. It always is. They always screw it up. All the theologians, all the nitwits. Why do you think that elderly man, that prophet, Simon, Simeon, you know, why do you think he was saying that he prayed that God would keep him alive so he would see the salvation of the Lord? He wanted to see the baby Jesus, and he got to. That was his dying grace, and that was his prayer. What kind of a person could say that unless they knew that this is the time? Everybody knew the fullness of time, when it would come, or could know. Now, same thing. We can know. The can't know crowd, that's a reactionary. It's reactionary to the dummies who said the rapture is going to occur back in, 1000 A.D., because it's a nice number for a year. And or the fall of the Roman Empire, or whatever it is. The rise of Hitler. I mean, on and on and on they were running around. Like chickens with their head covered, making stuff up. I think he's the Antichrist. I think Obama's the Antichrist. I mean, it's the dumbest stuff. Everything out there. You expect everything imaginable. No, the Antichrist is competent. You're just talking on a human level of following a guy, apart from all the evil and the satanic stuff connected with it. Yeah, the guy's competent. Alexander inspired this in his people. He was not some just poster boy for, he was get it done guy. And he started young, doing it young. And his men were just devoted as heck to him. And he led charges. He didn't sit back on a hill. He led them. His men were always trying to get him to back off. He'd go in to jump into a city in India. He was the first guy over the wall, jumping down the middle of all these guys with swords and crap. And his men just went berserk. He shouldn't be doing this. And they'd jump in there and go nuts too. He got wounded any number of times. So anyway, you know, he's competent. These people, they want to pick for Antichrist. We're going to pick some really good genetics and hook it up with the devil. He'll know how to lead modern armies. He'll be familiar with a jet aircraft. He'll be able to take small resources and make them work. Europe right now is a wreck, thanks to the European Union and the bureaucrats in Brussels. It's a mess. Satan does not like separate cultures, separate nations. He wants us all be put in a big blender. We like diversity. See, we like that kind of diversity. We like a German culture, a French culture, an Italian one. Want a big mess of stuff. We like this. All right. Peace and destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pains upon a woman with a child, and they will not escape. Well, they put themselves in that spot. Like a drunk, they reel under divine judgment, being under the influence of evil. Some examples. The Jeremiah passages, if you weren't here, the Jeremiah passages are all keyed of the 50 and 51, at least. I mean, we haven't gone through the whole book of Jeremiah, and we probably aren't going to get there unless I live a lot longer than I think I am. Let me see what I got here. The 38 one doesn't sound right, because it isn't right. The 57 one is, I will make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the king, whose name is the Lord of the armies. Thus says the Lord of the armies, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely raised. Guess what? Nobody has ever raised the wall of Babylon. It's fallen into ruin. The archaeological site that's over in Iraq today, Alexander died there. The city was in decline, but no one raised the walls. No one had a reason to raise the walls after the Persians overtook the Babylonian Empire. Nobody had a reason to go in there and destroy that. And the walls of Babylon were notorious for being broad and, I mean, white. It was said, I believe, that two chariots could run around them abreast. Well, no problem. This wall was to protect Babylon from her enemies. They had a water supply in the Euphrates River that ran through the city. This city was never torched. Never. Either the Bible is so wrong in Jeremiah's prophecy, or he's speaking of something else. I go with something else. It's code. People like code, don't they? We use it all kinds of different ways. Code language. So you just figure the puzzle out. Last days. This is some exciting reading. With regard to the judgment. And the more you read it, the more you see, you know, if the shoe fits and you like the style and you can afford it, get it. Period. I've had some strong reactions against this, but they can't refute it. How do I know it's Russia? Well, process of elimination. Jeremiah 50, verse 3. For a nation has come up against her out of the north. That's 50, verse 3. For a nation has come up against her out of the north. It will make her land an object of horror. You know what an object of horror is? Well, just for purposes here. If your land, your country, the area under attack, was made a radioactive environment, that'd be a land of horror, wouldn't it? You wouldn't want to go near it because it's radioactive. And there will be no inhabitant in it. Ancient Babylon, after it went into decline, and even after it lost all significance as a city, Bedouins took their sheep in there and put them up for the night. And they still do. And archaeologists go over there, or have. I don't know. No inhabitant. Both man and beast wandered off. They have gone away. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel come, both they and the sons of Judah as well. They will go along weeping as they go, and it will be the Lord their God they will seek. That's the conversion of the Jews to the second after the rapture, when they start coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And American Jews, for instance, exiting. Because they're told to, or they'll die in the Holocaust. And they will go back to their land. And it'll be traumatic upon them to realize that Jesus is their Messiah. That Christian God is their Messiah. And then it goes off on a thing. They will ask for the way to Zion, turning their faces in its direction. They will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant which will not be forgotten. My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. That's their leaders. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. That's kingdoms. They have gone along from mountain to hill. A lesser kingdom is a hill. And that's the scattering of the Jews among the nations. And have forgotten their resting place. And all who come upon them devoured, damn it. Persecution of Jews among the Gentiles. And their adversaries have said, we're not guilty. They rationalize this. Inasmuch as they sinned against the Lord. Oh, that's great. The Jews sinned against God so we can take pot shots at him, who is the habitation of righteousness, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Christian leaders have done this, have advocated persecution of the Jews, mistreatment of Jews, because they murdered Jesus. What a deal. Wander away, now back to the deal. Wander away from the midst of Babylon and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans was the ethnic stock that founded the Babylonian Empire. What's the ethnic stock that followed that founded this empire or this nation? Anglo-Saxon. White race is under attack today in colleges and all around. Well, it was Anglo-Saxons. Last time I checked, other peoples came in. So that's your equivalent. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. For behold, I'm going to rouse up and bring against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. That's your direction. And they will draw up their battle lines against her. From there, she will be utterly taken. Unprecedented. More on that. How can you do that? Thermonuclear weapons. The battle lines are usually drawn face to face. These are off from the land. They come from the land of the north. That's the battle lines. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior. Arrows. Who does not return empty-handed. Thermonuclear arrows. Chaldea will become plunder, and all who plunder her will have enough, declares the Lord. This is unconventional plunder, by the way, because none of it's worth keeping. It's radioactive. Because you're glad, because you're jubilant, oh you who pillage my heritage, because you skip about like a threshing heifer and nigh like stallions, your mother will be greatly ashamed. That's England. Who is our mother? England. These were 13 colonies founded by the English. Your mother will be greatly ashamed. She who gave you birth will be humiliated. This is the reaction of the British people to our destruction. Behold, she will be the least of the nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. Because of the indignation of the Lord, she will not be inhabited, and she will be left completely desolate. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be horrified and will hiss because of all her wounds. There's sometimes when people go down, people like to say, you got what you deserved. Boo on you. People enjoy that. They pass by. They don't pass through. Draw up your battle lines against Babylon on every side, all you who bend the bow. Shoot at her. Do not be sparing with your arrows. Unload it all, for she has sinned against the Lord. Raise your battle cry against her on every side. She has given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been torn down. That's her defensive, military defensive. This is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. As she has done to others, so do to her. Cut off the sword from Babylon and the one who wields the sickle at the time of harvest. For before the sword of the oppressor, they will each turn back to his own people. How do you like that? There will be an element, a population element, that will go back to his own people. I'm not going to be here, so I have to worry about which one I got to figure that out. I got all the just different things going on. I also go to France. Oh, that'd be so great. Like the Frenchman I was talking to. I said, what's your name? I said, Jacques Bonnet. He says, oh, Jacques Bonnet. They'll each flee to his own land. Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have driven them away. The first one who devoured them was the king of Assyria. First dispersion. And the last one who has broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Well, there was one more to come, wasn't there? the Roman Caesar and his general. Therefore, thus says the Lord of the armies, the God of Israel, behold, I am going to punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel back to his pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but they will not be found. For I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. Jews who will convert to Christ after the rapture, and so forth and so on. That's pretty clear. All right, I'll leave you with that. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Again, deacons, meet, please.